Howdy, folks. Welcome to Brother Scott's Look in the Book, Episode 3. I wonder how long it will be until I forget which episode it is and we'll have to look it up. So far, I can remember 3. It was a beautiful spring day in northern Colorado today with a mostly sunny sky and temps in the mid-70s. And our two trees out front are blooming nicely and preparing to grow new leaves that I will have to rake up in the fall. Thankfully, that won't be for another 6 months, and we're looking forward to a gorgeous summer in the meantime, hopefully. So I have a question to ask you. Do you pray the ever-popular so-called Lord's Prayer? If so, have you ever stopped to think why you pray it? Is it because you always have since you were little? Or perhaps because a church you join prays it? Or perhaps because, today I'm going to provide evidence of why we should not be praying that prayer today. And that even though it's called the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ never prayed it. I'll demonstrate from God's word that he could not have prayed that prayer. I recently saw a reel on Instagram where the Bible teacher wrote in his introduction about the so-called Lord's Prayer. This teacher wrote in the introduction to the video, "Did you know that Jesus actually modeled for us how to pray? Share this with someone who struggles with knowing how they should pray." He goes on to say in the video, "Jesus gives us a model prayer that we're not supposed to say word for word. I don't know why not, but it gives us a good model." So how does he know we're not supposed to pray it word for word? Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Why wouldn't we pray it word for word? But anyway, and then the teacher goes on to quote it word for word, actually. So the teacher begins with Matthew 6:9. "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And it's from the New King James Version. All my references are from the King James Version. So we inserted, "So it starts by addressing and then praising God." Okay, that's true, it does. Then he reads Matthew 6:10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He inserts here, "We're then supposed to recognize that God's will is the highest priority, even with an eternal perspective." That could be. Not sure about that. But then he reads Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread," and inserts, "This is asking God for help with our tangible needs." No way, and I'll demonstrate why. Then Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And he inserts, "This is working on our relationship with God and then with other people." Well, forgive us our debts is asking to forgive our sins. And then we're to forgive those who sin against us. So I don't know what this is working on our relationship with God and then with other people. But anyway, then he reads Matthew 6:13, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And here he inserts, "This portion should be dedicated to overcoming sin." All right, overcoming sin is a good thing if we can. So he reads in Matthew 6:13, which is continued, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And he finishes by inserting, "Just like we started with worship, we end with worship." Okay. I think that's true too. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's get started. Let's examine why this prayer is not the Lord's Prayer and it is not for us today in this dispensation of grace. Let's get that out of the way. Matthew 6:9-10, King James Version. "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Protestants call this the Lord's Prayer, and most Catholics call it the Our Father Prayer. Well, they're both wrong. This prayer was exclusively for the little flock in Luke chapter 12 and not for the Lord. Jesus was instructing them on how they should pray. It was their prayer. Let's take a look at Luke 11, 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. See there, did you catch it? Whose prayer was it? The Lord's prayer? It clearly was not. This is not a prayer for Gentiles unless they had been proselytized into the nation Israel. And it should not be taught that it is a prayer for us today. Not at all. That prayer was for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which were the little flock that had believed in their Messiah. After all, Jesus himself said in Matthew 15, 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're not Israel today. And by the way, where did Christ send forth his 12 apostles? Matthew 10, 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. When folks pray that prayer today, think about it. They are praying for earthly things when they should be praying for heavenly things, as our Apostle Paul instructs us. Colossians 3, 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Boom. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Each individual in the body of Christ is a new creature. We are not Israel spiritually, figuratively, or literally, and we did not replace Israel. Check out Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Neither Jew nor Greek, which means we are new creatures. So there is no reason for anyone to pray that prayer today. We're not Israel, and Israel isn't us. So that prayer does not belong to us. That leads us to this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what is the word of truth we are to rightly divide? Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. And here it is, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation, and that is what we are to rightly divide. The gospel of our salvation. We are to divide Israel from the body of Christ. And that prayer belongs to Israel, not the body of Christ, in any way, shape, or form. The body of Christ is not looking for an earthly kingdom. Israel was looking for the earthly kingdom that will come to Jerusalem. So there is not a thing about that prayer that pertains to us, the body of Christ. We are not on that side of the cross. We are on this side of the cross. Let's reference Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption, of course, is the day the Lord will return to take the body of Christ off the earth. The Lord's prayer is about thy kingdom come. Israel was not looking to go anywhere, but we in the body of Christ are. See the difference? That little flock of Jewish believers were not waiting to die and go to heaven. They were waiting on their kingdom to come to earth. That's what the Bible tells us plain as day. Also, it's important to realize that there are two presentations of Christ that we find in our Bible. One presentation is according to prophecy, Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And the other presentation is according to mystery, Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Incredibly, the clueless religious industrial complex decided to reach down into Matthew chapter 6 and grab a hold of a prayer that Christ taught Israel to pray. Then they teach that it is a prayer for us today by inserting their own meaning into it and then call it the Lord's Prayer when the Lord never prayed it, not one time. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't heard it with my own ears. I speculate that if you asked 100 Christians where they're going when they die, 100 of them would answer, heaven. But then turn around to believe that a prayer that says, thy kingdom come, is a prayer for us today? The dichotomy is glaring. Those in Matthew 6 knew they were going to end up right where they were, on earth. They were all looking forward to their prophesied kingdom in earth, not in heaven. God's will and God's kingdom operating where? In earth. Have you heard anyone today say, when I die, I'm going to earth? Of course not. God shows us his purpose of a division in the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is God's purpose for Israel, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to reign with him on earth, Revelation 5:10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And this is God's purpose for us, the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Those who fail to rightly divide the word of truth miss this. So let's see now. What was the little flock still focusing on even after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? Acts 1:6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They weren't looking to die and go to heaven even after the death, burial, and resurrection. They're still looking forward to their kingdom to be restored here on earth. Remember, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. This is a time when earthly government will adopt heavenly standards. Does our government today have heavenly standards? Rhetorical question for sure. Okay, Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. This has nothing to do with, quote, asking God for help with our tangible needs, unquote. This is specifically about daily bread for Israel. Why was it called daily bread? Exodus 16:4, 15, and 19 through 21. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Then I may prove them which they will walk in my law or no. Verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Their daily bread was only edible for one day, and then it would spoil, and they were asking God for replacement bread daily. That is, daily bread. So where do we get our daily bread today? There's a loaf in the bread box and possibly a supply in the freezer. We go to work and then purchase it at the store, and we aren't expecting God to give us our daily bread or any other provisions. But Israel was expecting God to provide them with their provisions. Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Concerning today, our Apostle Paul wrote to us, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. God is not helping us with our tangible needs today. We go to work for them or we go without. The increasing homeless population spells that out in excruciating detail. Okay, let's revisit verse 12. Matthew 6, 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 12 could not be part of any prayer the Lord would pray, because that would make him a sinner in need of forgiveness. That's outright blasphemy. And forgive us our debts, that's our sins, as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. So the Lord could not pray, forgive us or me my debts. Forgive us our debts. The Lord could not and would not pray that. So just one more reason we know it's falsely called the Lord's Prayer. There's no way that it is. And there's no way we should be praying it today. Hopefully this lesson shows you once and for all, dear listener, that this is definitely not the Lord's Prayer. And we today should not be praying it. Grace and peace.